from PRX.
Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for the podcaster who will, I won't put you out like a light switch, and I definitely won't do the other, I won't be turning any lights on. I'm more like I'm lowering the dimmer switch slowly. And I make this podcast, if you're new, because you do deserve a good night's sleep. This is a different podcast. It's here to keep you company and take your mind off of stuff. It goes nowhere. It rarely makes sense. It's just kind of barely fun. And well, it's definitely welcoming. So I'm glad you're here. Check the show out. Comes out for free twice a week on Sundays and Wednesdays. And here's how we're able to be here for you free twice a week. If you're a regular listener, if you could check these sponsors out when your hand hits the fridge or the coffee pot tomorrow, it'd be great. Sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. But this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions, so we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. Sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix Sleep Quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each design designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. All right, everybody. It is time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. The one part of the podcast I need you to hear is where I pop my peas, if you please. I want to thank you, the listeners who supported the sponsors. That is how we are here free twice a week. Even a free trial makes a gigantic difference. If you try a free trial from one of our sponsors, let them know about it. Let me know about it. Tag them on social media. Fill out the form at sleepwithmepodcast.com. I'll send you a thank you video. I'll try to thank you here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone because I'm thanking you because I get to do this for free because of those of you that support those sponsors. And I love it. I love people that get to listen to all those old episodes too in the feed. So thank you so much. Please let me know about it. Let the sponsors know about it because I want to thank you here personally right here. I want to thank you. Right. No, you. Correct. No, I'm talking right to you. Thank you. Thanks for listening. I couldn't do it without you. The second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need. There's links to resources you could connect with right now if you're having a tough time. Use those links and reach out. There's even international resources there. It's about being a member of a community with our actions, saying Black Lives Matter, saying Stop AAPI8, saying Support Ukraine, taking action to be a part of community and part of positive change. There's links to resources where you can learn more and take action in our show notes. And one thing we're doing as a community, there's listeners like Cornelia, Christiana just bought a shampoo and conditioner. We're building hygiene kits for the Midnight Mission in Los Angeles and for people experiencing homelessness together, wherever you are in the world. You could make hygiene kits or you could support the Midnight Mission financially or buy things off their Amazon wish list. However you want to choose to participate, join us. We're doing that as a community via a newsletter at sleepwithmepodcast.com/midnightmission. And I'd love for you to join us. We're doing live shows, Q&As, tons of stuff. I hope to see you over there. And that is it as far as the support for the show goes and the communities around the show. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on this show. Who are
Chris
they?
Posty Poster Song. Sounds like a near fall. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes too. Carl W. The Legend. Also edits episodes. Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer. Runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at JonathanMann.net. I'll write a song for you. Any reason at all. You can tell me the story and I'll make it personal. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance. Rusty Biscuit, Lois, Anna like banana. Leah does the transcripts.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. I'm at Dearest Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. What do you say we slow it down and get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. Whether it's thoughts on your mind, like things you're thinking about the past, the present, the future. So thoughts, it could be feelings, anything you're feeling emotionally. It could be like related to those thoughts or the feelings that are just there. I don't know if they're latent I might have to look up what latent means in a minute, or they could be active. I think, like, here, what is that called? What is that energy, that potential energy? Latent and potential energy related at all? My brain is shrugging. It's not saying it says I have no idea, so much so that I can't even embarrass you for being incorrect. But whether your thoughts, your feelings have latent energy, potential energy, or you're saying, oh my goodness, 40 years in a laboratory, an energy laboratory, under the tutelage of someone who was under the tutelage of someone who was under the tutelage of someone who knew the definition of the word tutelage, of Albert Einstein. My word, I've tuned into a sleep podcast, so it could be thoughts, feelings, could be physical sensations that are keeping you up, changes in time, temperature, routine, laboratory, tutelage. Could be any type of tooting. Tooting and bedtime does not always go together. You got those under-the-cover toots. Hopefully that's like a limited thing. You got horn tooting. Not many horns toot anymore, but they go toot, toot, toot. That's a very polite way of calling it a horn. Or a ship. You could have a ship going by. How come the trains don't go toot toot though, do they? They go choo choo choo. I guess they could go toot toot toot, root toot toot and train. I hear a lot of trains. I hear two kinds of trains, three kinds of trains actually. Freight trains, BART trains, and Amtrak trains from my window. But they don't really keep me up. But whatever it is that's keeping you awake, I'm here to take your mind off of that and keep you company while you fall asleep. And the way I do that is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. What that means is my voice is not always... it's not traditionally soothing, but you may find it relaxing and distracting and comforting. And pointless meanders and superfluous tangents, you kind of already saw those, like where I go off topic, I get mixed up, I forget what a word means, go back, try to figure that out. Maybe we'll look it up in a minute here. And then... all to keep you company so you can fall asleep. Why do I make this show? What is the purpose of this podcast? These are all legitimate questions. I'm not being ironic. Why would anyone listen to this? These are really good questions if you're new or if you're a regular listener. And if you're new, you might be skeptical or doubtful or confused or irritated. Totally normal. If you've been having trouble sleeping like a lot of us have, and you've tried a bunch of stuff and then you Googled this podcast or someone recommended it. This show is a bit different. And I'll try to explain everything, but the reason I make a show is twofold. One, I've been there in the deep, dark night, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep, trouble waking up, over all that stuff, thoughts, feelings, mind racing, physical sensations. I've had different stuff, so that's like one thing is I know how it feels. Like deep down, it feels not great. Or I start thinking about bedtime a day or two ahead of time. I say, oh no, Sunday's coming, and it can be lonely there in the deep dark night. So that's one reason I make the show is because I know how it feels, and I know it's nice to have some kind presence there to keep me company and say, hey, that must be tough. I'll be here to kind of keep you company and take your mind off of stuff if I can. And the other side of that is that you deserve a place where you can have that. So whether it's this podcast or something else, you can find it at sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou. But you deserve something that's going to keep you company and take your mind off stuff, a bedtime that you at least feel neutral about, but a bedtime you could look forward to be great. And the sleep you need would be great because then your life will be more manageable. And if your life's more manageable, the world we live in is better because your world's better. And that is important. it's important to me, and I know it's important to you, even though it might be easy to say, oh, it's not. It is, and you deserve it. You deserve a good night's sleep. So that's why I make the show. This is a couple other things to know. One, almost no one likes this podcast on their first listen. I mean, a percentage of people do. But for the most part, it takes two or three tries to get used to the show. It's just very different. It's very strange. And that's not my word for it. I would have thought would be like, oh, okay, I definitely don't like the show, or I could like, but most, like more than hundreds of thousands of people, probably a million people have said, took two or three tries for me to get used to that show. So see how it goes, and see if you like it. Like, we don't gain anything. Regular listeners are what keep the show going. So just see how it goes. There's no pressure to like the show, but see, give it a few tries, see what happens. And hopefully it helps. So that's, I think that's that part. Oh, structure of the show. Oh, yeah. Okay. So this podcast that, you don't really listen to. Did I say that yet? No. It's a podcast you kind of barely listen to. You can listen. That's one of the hardest things to get used to. It's like almost like looking at an out of focus photograph or something, but without trying to figure it, you say, huh, yeah, it's kind of not bad. Like a Zoom background. And you say, well, it's kind of blurry, but that person's Zoom, it's not too blurry. Like the colors in your Zoom background, they're blurred in the way that's not bad. That's this podcast. You're not trying to figure out what's in the Zoom background, but you're saying you could be in a pastel kitchen with a pastel pantry behind you, but I don't know. But I, like, thinking that relaxes me. The pantry of pastels, or the pastel pantry. So this is a podcast that you just kind of barely listen to in that sense. I don't know if that's the greatest analogy, but it's the one we have today. And this is a podcast that doesn't really put you to sleep. I'm here to keep you company while you fall asleep, or to keep you company if you can't sleep, or to keep you company while you're sleeping. Like, I'm here to be your friend in the deep, dark night, your boar friend, your boar bae, your boar sib, your boar bestie, your boar burr, your neighbor, your boar bud. And, like, to be a friend in the deep, dark night. So if you can't sleep, I'm here keeping you company to the end. But if you're not listening to me, I'm here keeping you company while you're not listening or while you're sleeping. I'm here for you. So those are a couple other things. The structure of the show also throws new people off. And it's the show's designed in a very deliberate way. And you can adjust as you become a regular listener. But let me explain why we structure the show the way we do it. Show starts off with a greeting. Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Then I try to say something silly. In that way, you feel seen, you feel welcome, or you say, okay, I can check this place out. I may be comfortable with it. I'm not sure yet. And we say something silly or mildly witty. So that you say, okay, the tone of the show is like a little bit goofy. So that's the beginning. Then there's support. So the podcast can come out twice a week for free wherever you want to listen to it. And that's the sponsors and the people that support the show directly enable us to do that for you for free. It's optional. You say, oh, yeah, I can. I'll listen a couple times. Maybe I won't like it. So, yeah, no pressure. Or I'm not in a position to support the show. I'm just a student, or I'm a new parent. Yeah, no worries. We're here for you for free. Twice a week, whatever podcast app you want. So that's the first part of the support. Then there's support for listeners. Then there's support for the communities around the show. Then there's the intro, which is separate from the support. And the intro is a show within a show where I go on and on and on trying to explain what the podcast is. Never quite successful, never concise at all. And for some people, that they think it's part of the support, but really the intro for a new listener, you say, oh, okay, I get the style of the show now. You're going nowhere fast or slow at the same time. You're treading in like a goop. And I say, oh, yeah, you know me already. Congrats. And so it I don't know. The reason it goes on and on and on also is there's a lot of on, on, and on, and ons. Is for a lot of listeners, regular listeners, their pets, their fishes, what up my fishes? And that when I say what up my fishes, that applies to all. You know, every once in a while I'll tell people to kiss their own shoulder or their bicep. and say, good job. Good job kissing that bicep. You know, any bicep is good, or whatever you want to call it, your arm. Yeah, let's just call it a bicep. It doesn't have to be like a movie bicep. It's just that thing. Some people will kiss their shoulders, but I've been told that, you know, that's not as easy. Even for me, I guess. So yeah, let's stick to the, oh, let's kiss that bicep. What does that have to do with anything? Well, what does it have to do with the intro? Well, the intro is different every time. So whatever is keeping you awake can't quite adjust. And it takes 15 to 20 minutes or so, so that it eases you into bedtime. It gives you a break between getting ready for bed and falling asleep in the bedtime story. And that's just what we've seen work, is having a way to ease into bedtime. Whether you're listening as you're getting ready for bed, or you're doing something chill, or you're already in bed getting comfortable, the intro is the transition part of the show, the landing strip. Then there's what comes after. Oh, then there's support again for the show, so it can be free twice a week. And then there's a story. Tonight it'll be something we're trying new, a little like a Bay Area Adventures travel tips or off the, you know, whatever. I'm not quite sure because it's new. And then there'll be thank yous at the end. So that's the structure of the show. That's why I make the show. Let's see. So let's look up latent. Latent. L-A-T-E-N-T. I guess it's two syllables. An adjective of a quality or state existing but not yet developed or manifest. Oh, boy. Hidden or concealed. A latent talent for diplomacy. Or in biology, a bud or resting stage, lying dormant or hidden until circumstances are suitable for its development or manifestation. So, I have no idea what context I was using. I think I was talking about latent feelings. Oh boy, that's pretty accurate, actually. The feelings that are there that you're not quite aware of, but you can feel them. That, you know, I deal with that a lot. They're lying latent, not quite 100% latent, though. You'd say, could you be a little bit more latent? Like, is there a sub-latent? Could you get into some sub-latency? I'm pretty sure there's something like that, can you do your latency a little bit, quiet down your latency? Well, that's like my latency's tone is built into the fa-. And I say, well, if you could just do it, like, we're looking for, an impulse. You know what? Keep your latency out of my dreams, too. If you could give me any of this latency, if you could bring it to a latent level between the hours of 10 a.m. and 4 p.m., or even better, 2 to 4, maybe, or yeah, like that would be perfect. Or maybe like on a Sunday. No, not Sunday. Oof, how's your Saturday looking? Well, this is things that make up your whole. And I say, great, that's terrific. But I could probably squeeze you in Saturday at 10. Do you want to do an imaginary brunch with this latent stuff? These latent feelings. How about this? Let's make a deal. Whenever I'm walking, you know what? I get latent thoughts. How come, can't you come visit? Can we schedule a visit whenever I walk the dog or take a shower? I mean, you're probably there anyway. It'd be great. I could give you like maybe 30% of my attention. How about 20%? Anytime I'm showering or walking the dog or driving alone or running or listening to a podcast, I'm usually thinking about something else anyway. So couldn't I squeeze you in and not squeeze you in? That sounds too, sounds like it would make you have some latent feelings about being latent, but, I'd just love to pencil you in for something official. But even though I don't have a pencil or a calendar that's like that, it'd be terrific to just get you on the calendar, because then we don't have to, then at bedtime we have an agreement. You're, No, I'm not trying to make you. Don't shrug. Don't let your shoulders. No. This is. I want to see you. Oh boy, I want you in my life. Latency. I mean, except when I'm using the internet or something. I can't have low latency or whatever, you know. But no. I'm looking to see you on a regular basis. This is the start of something special. Because usually, here's the pitch for you, Leighton. Normally at bedtime, believe it or not, it seems like the best time to bring stuff up with me because everything's quiet, but that's because I'm trying to fall asleep. And there's other parts of me that are also in competition with you. And I'm saying, I'm not 100% sure you're a nocturnal being. You may be diurnal, and I think that means by let's make you diurnal. If you're not, the sun shines out there sometimes. There's you get to see stuff, and then you would no longer be latent. So I don't know if that's part of it, would be that would transform you. It might not be, you say, well, then what do I need to change my name? I say, you may, but I think that's part of the process of being latent, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm glad. I'd love to have you more in my life. I'm really saying that. I'd love to be giving you 30% of my attention, which is more than I give almost anything. I was just trying to start us off on an honest footing, you know, because if I told you I'd give you 100% of my attention, that wouldn't be very respectful, right? Hearing it out loud, I say, oh boy, but that's the truth. I mean, just think about my poor dog. She's walking. Now, meanwhile, about 40%, you know, 40% of my brain at all times is, we'll just call it concerns. And then that leaves about 60% left. 20% we could throw out to a generalized confusion. I don't know. What does that give us? 20? But I'm selling you, I'll pull some from those other things. Don't worry, I won't take anything from paying attention to the, you know, bathing part, you know, the cleaning. Well, if you could keep an eye on me while we're talking, if I'm bathing, just make sure my feet and my armpits get clean, but not before I wash my face, all right? Because I don't have a specific order. I never developed a specific, we could work on that, but I don't let you go my face first because to say, well, even though I know where the soap's been, you know what I'm saying? But then sometimes I forget. They say, did I wash my armpits? Did I wash my feet? Am I boring you, Leighton? That's maybe why. So anyway, let's work on that. What do you say? But it's not I'm not trying to disregard you or disrespect you at all. I'm trying to say, we're in this together, right? And I think we know that. That's why you're latent. You're saying, that's why I need a little bit more sub-latency. How about this? Let me put it to you this way. Would you want your own sub? I mean, who would turn down a submarine, right? A latent in a sub. Instead of sub-latent, I'll put you in your own submarine. You'll be cruising around after midnight. You know, maybe you're sleeping. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's a club, the latency sub club. You could do whatever you want in that submarine. And, I mean, if it's something cool, let me know about it. Well, now I'm wondering if then that would take away, say, yeah, you could have your own submarine. You won't be sub-latent. You'll be cruising in a sub. And then during the day, we'll have some check-in time. That's all I'm saying. I think that's pretty good. So anyway, those are the kind of things that come up here in the intro. They go on and on and on. Sometimes we solve things like we just did. I think this is a new, you say, what happened to sleep with me? Turns out Scooter opened a club in a submarine in Ibiza. And it was unbelievable. He's a billionaire now. He's a billionaire club. He has sub clubs in the Thames and other places. It's pretty cool, right? It's all in his imagination, though. So I'm glad you're here. I really hope I can help you fall asleep. I appreciate you stopping by. And here's a couple ways I'm able to do it for you for free twice a week. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com. to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody. All right. Hey, everybody. Scoots here. And this is a different kind of episode. And like totally, totally new. And so it should be interesting. And I don't know if this may be created in two parts. I'm not even sure. And I didn't know if this would, like, so I don't know. So this is a couple days in the Bay. And the idea of this one is maybe to find some, I wouldn't say they're underrated gems where you live or where I live in this example, but a couple like half day adventures you could go on. Now, I guess if you were coming to the Bay Area, if you live in the Bay Area, this should be on your list, or whatever I talk about in this episode, say, hey, add this to your list. But the reason it's good to sleep to is it won't be anything exciting. And if you were coming from out of town to visit, wouldn't necessarily need to do this unless it's your fifth time coming to the Bay Area for a visit. So I don't know if that's, what do they call that? Lourism? Like a local tour, because it's not really a staycation, because it's just a day trip. Stuff to do, I guess they'd call it. And I want to encourage you to do this because, one, it's something I fall in and out of. So the more I fall into a routine, the less likely I am to go on local adventures, and then I have to kind of re-spark that for some reason. And it always, in my mind, seems more difficult than it necessarily is. Don't know why, but it just is. So it's something I'm working towards changing. And so I'd like to take you along on this day trip here. where we'll be going out to Antioch, Pittsburgh, and Walnut Creek. We will be eating at a chain restaurant. And I don't know how many historical facts I have. I can look some up on Wikipedia, I'm sure. But let's take the journey. Let me look on a map, actually, of some of the places we'll journey. Because that's a part of it, you know. So if you're in the Bay, what you first want to do is, depending on where you are in the Bay, is you want to get to 680 North. So for those of us, those of you in San Francisco or the peninsula, well, if you're, depending on where you are in the peninsula, it'll be different. But if you're in the East, in the Oakland, Berkeley, East, the East Bay or San Francisco, you're going to take 24 and you're going to connect with 680 and you'll take 680 North. Now, this is where it gets confusing. It got confusing for me is that there's a road called 242, which I think is also 680. I don't know. And you're going to take 242 north, where 680 splits off and heads northwest. You're going to take 242, which heads north, north and or a tiny bit northeast. And by this time, on 680 and 24, you'll be passing through Walnut Creek, Pleasant Hill, Concord. And then you'll get out there and you'll hit a... I don't know, what is it we hit here? Don't worry, I got a map thing open. Four. Though you could take Willow Pass Road. We did not take it. I was just following the directions that were given to me. And here's the thing. This part is all you could take BART for some of this, not all of it. So I can't give you advice for all of it. But this is pretty cool. If you haven't been out here, you get to start to see some things you haven't seen before, and you'll see some industry, you'll see those rolling hills I talked about, you'll see Mount Diablo at some point, and then you'll start heading east on 4, and you'll be to your left will be Suisun Bay, and what is that called, the Delta, right? That's what they call that, the Sacramento Delta. I think that's what they call it. And we'll start proceeding through, you'll start heading west. And as you see the hills, you'll see some open areas. And some open areas that may become housing soon that used to be U.S. property. And you'll eventually pass Willow Pass Road. We saw, we couldn't tell honestly if it was a school or a movie theater under construction. Pretty close to Willow Pass Road, I think, but it may have been further along. You do a little bit of an elevation gain before you come back down. And again, yeah, you'll see the, I guess it, what is this, where the Sacramento River meets, the San Joaquin River? Is that what it is, Scoots? I don't really know. There's Stockton, Rio Vista. That is the San Joaquin River. I'm working with you. Don't worry, buddy. Sacramento, the deep water ship channel. So there is a way for ships to actually get to Stockton, I believe, and Sacramento through this delta. But I don't know. Other than that, the answers are not coming. San Francisco Bay, Estuary Research, Grizzly. I'm just looking at a map here. But anyway, you're going to continue heading east. You'll pass Pittsburgh, Bay Point, then Pittsburgh, and eventually get to Antioch. Well, before you get to Antioch, so between Pittsburgh and Antioch is where we'll stop. But first, I want to say, I think I took Highway 4 one time as an experiment all the way to Stockton. So let me see if that's possible. Oh, yeah, it connects with Vasco Road, too. Well, that's interesting. Let me see if I took it all the way there. Just one time I had to do something out in Antioch or Pittsburgh, and then I had to go to Stockton, I think. And yeah, I did take it all the way to Stockton. I don't know if it's necessarily the most, because there's Discovery Bay. I think I've been out there once or twice. That's pretty far out. Byron. Yeah, these are all exurbs. Brentwood, not the Brentwood in Los Angeles. This is a Bay Area version of, a Bay Area Brentwood. But there's a lot of cool parks out there. We're still in the East Bay Parks District for some of this. And I was even looking, there's like this Big Break Regional Shoreline sounds pretty cool. San Joaquin River. And, the Sacramento River and the San Joaquin River, enter this delta, or whatever you want to call it, that goes into the bay. So this is probably, this water is probably goes, is like, what do you call it, briny? Like where they go from salt to, so where the fresh water meets the salt water at some point. San Pablo Bay. But yeah, so at one point I did take Highway 4 all the way to Stockton. It was not efficient. I don't know if I thought it would save me time or I just wanted to see if I could do it, but I did do it. Oh, there's an Antioch Water Park. Never heard of that. At the Antioch Community Center. So it looks like their community pool. Okay, but where we're getting off here for now is, let me find my thing here. Where do we get off? Somersville Road. And it's a big intersection on Highway 4. And it looks like it isn't officially in Antioch, but right in the middle of Antioch and Pittsburgh. And we're going to head south, west, I guess. So you're basically going to go right on Somersville Road. And you're going to take Somersville Road. Oh, but this is imaginary. So ahead of time, what you're going to want to do is go to the East Bay Parks website. Because our first stop, or our main stop, or no, first stop is Black Diamond Mines Regional Preserve Park. And that is technically in Antioch, 94509. And so it's at the end of Somersville Road. But you do want to make a reservation ahead of time for one of three. There's three different tours you can go on. There are different places where trying to think of what's most sleepy. Some of the stuff's not, it's not, there's nothing not sleepy about what we're going to do. But for some people, it could be archetypally not sleepy. But let me go to Wikipedia and I'll read to you about it. But you want to make a reserve for one of the tours. I guess we could use it calls it the Black Diamond Mines. I think that's because at some point they mined coal there and then they mined silica or sand there. And according to Wikipedia, the Black Diamond Mines Regional Preserve is a 6,000-acre park north of Mount Diablo, Contra Costa County, administered by the East Bay Parks Regional Park District. And it was acquired in 1973, relics of three mining towns, former coal and sand mines, and offers a guided tour of the former sand mine. But you can also go on a tour that's based on history or just the coal mining tour, which we did, which is a short tour. Like, and one of the reasons we did it is, one, I never been there. I personally love being inside the earth. And like I have full, like places that say you can have our full confidence. So that for this example, they said, you have our full confidence. Come on inside our earth here. So getting a tour of that kind of stuff. But this was always something that just seemed a little bit too far. So the drive is about, I don't know how long the drive is. Let's actually look it up. I know we had the map up here. What are directions? How long would you like? It's from the East Bay, from 24. Once you hit 24, if there's no traffic, you're talking about 30 to 45 minutes. Check it out. So let's go back. 60 mile. Preserve contains relics. We covered that. Offers guided tours. There's trails, 60 miles of trails in the preserves of rolling foothill terrain covered with grassland, oak woodland, mixed evergreen forest and shrapnel or whatever, however you say that. I don't know. I'm not kidding. Sherpal, and we'll talk about that. Wikipedia has some really, really nice pictures. And historically, like we'll cover it a little bit just because, you know, why not? 1859, there was a coal deposit discovered. And it wasn't successful at first, but then things were growing rapidly because it was part of the overall Mount Diablo coal field. And so there's some left, like some of that there. There was towns there, Nortonville, Somerville, Stuartville, West Hartley, and Judsonville. And you can kind of see one of them because it's on private property, or two of them. The mines, they're Empire, Central Star, Corcoran, Pittsburgh, Manhattan, Eureka, Independent, Union, and Black Diamond, Mount Hope, and Cumberland. Now, the thing about the coal is that they told us this on the tour, it was low grade because of its age. It wasn't as old as other coal deposits discovered elsewhere, so it didn't burn very clean. It was sub-bituminous or something, but it was like the only source of readily accessible source in California. And it was carried to the San Joaquin River by three railroads and then put on barges for Sacramento, Stockton, and San Francisco area stuff. And then as better quality coal became available and easier to ship, they said, okay, that's not great. And you can't really go on any tours of the actual coal mines, though we got a little bit of a view of one, or maybe it's a sand mine that they said this is what it was like if it was a coal mine, but we went on a coal mining tour. And you can look in different other ones. It's a really nice park. There's also other historical areas, including where people are resting for a long time. And then there's the sandstone mine. This is the 1920s. And this, the interesting thing about the tour, too, is said, hey, like a lot of the stuff you use, like glass, for example, it comes from somewhere like this. So it's good for my daughter and I to see it together. And actually, we live pretty close to the plant that's still open, I think. In the 1920s, high-quality silica sandstone, they started taking that out of Somersville area, and that was sold to the Hazel Atlas, is what it's called now, and for containers, and that was operated till 1945. There was another one in Nortonville, and that Hazel Atlas is slowly being restored and maintained, and I'd like to go on that for a tour. And you can go into, there's like a portal, they call it, and that's where their visitor center is, which is really, really cool in the museum. Let's see, recreation, you got great views of the Mount Diablo and the River Delta, a lot of wildflowers, wildlife, we saw some birds, and the park is open year-round. 2016, someone else donated some more land to it. So I think that's it for the history. Let's cover that, however you say that word, because we went on a hike. Okay, so let me tell you, like, give you more directions, and we'll go to more facts. So we drove up Somerville Road. Then you go, you enter the park, and then you go on a winding road. Now go slow, because there's people doing biking up and down the hill. And you do a slow elevation gain going up the hill there, and then you park, and there are, now you do have to, like, go to the visitor centers a bit away, I don't know, like a quarter mile maybe from the parking. So make sure you have screen, sunscreen, water, a hat, maybe some, you know, the kind of stuff you'd bring on a hike. And it could be pretty warm out there. The day we went, it was not. It was windy. And the sun was out, but it was not warm. It was not hot. And so we used, well, I had drank two Coke Zeros, so I used the PIT facility, a pit-based water closet. And then we headed up towards the visitor center. We checked in. We were early. We watched a film from an old episode of Bay Area Backroads covering the mine and the surrounding park and looked at some of the exhibits. Then we went for a hike on a trail. I think it was called Chaparral. That's according to Wikipedia. And I think that was the name of the trail we went on, a loop. It was pretty cool because it went by a couple of historical places. Now, the only thing was we had about a half hour. And it was a really nice hike. But then it was a loop, but I don't think we knew how long the loop was. So then we started getting under a time crunch. And you know when Scoots gets under a time crunch. So the first part of the loop that we went on went uphill. And the second one went downhill. But this Chaparral. That makes sense. I mean, I'm dyslexic, so this stuff, when it's not a sight word and it's very confusing like this, it is really not easy for me. But it's a shrubland plant community. And I think these are the ones, I'm more familiar with seeing them a lot in Los Angeles and like the Angeles National Forest. But you can find them in California, Southern Oregon, Baja Peninsula. It's needs a Mediterranean climate and stuff to kind of give it area. It's the summer drought tolerant plants, evergreen leaves, which is different than coastal sage scrub, which is found on other drier slopes within their biome. And there's other closely related shrubland systems in Arizona and Texas. But yeah, Cal, these ones, they need, you could see them. Yeah. And then it's, let's see, mature chaparral is characterized by impenetrable dense thickets. And they do grow, get dry. So you got to watch, you know, you got to take care. They grow as woody shrubs with thick, leathery, often small leaves. They contain leaves all year. They're evergreen and drought resistant. And they can, they do flower occasionally after the first rain. Let's see. I think he's the one, so with the red bark. I don't know. That's what I mean. I would have thought they would have led with that. So maybe I'm talking about two different plants. Maybe that's manzanita. I don't know. I guess we got to look up manzanita now just to cover me because I'm not seeing the bark. And the bark. Oh, no. There you go. Oh, manzanita. There we go. Oh, boy. So I didn't know. I don't know my chaparral from my manzanita. Which, I mean, I guess is not surprising. Let's see. So manzanita is another evergreen shrub. It grows in the chaparral biome. So maybe manzanita is a type of chaparral. So we could have gone on the manzanita loop or the chaparral loop. Manzanitas can live in places with poor soil, little water, smooth orange or red bark. There you go. And stiff, twisting branches. There's 105 species of manzanita, 95 of which are found in the Mediterranean climate or colder regions. And they can grow up to 20 feet tall. They bloom in the winter to early spring. They do have berries and flowers. It's like it's translated to little apple, and they're really cool looking plant trees or bushes or plants. So if you haven't seen a manzanita and you're not on a tour with someone that doesn't know his manzanita from his chaparral, do yourself a favor and check it out. So that's one thing. I mean, that's one. So we went on the hike, right? Through manzanita, through chaparral, looked at different stuff. There was sandstone. There was other stuff. There was other people hiking. It was a beautiful day. And again, it was just nice to be out. And even for where I live in the East Bay, it's a different environment, even though it was only 45 minutes away. It's a hotter, drier climate out there. And it's cool to be out there because it doesn't get as much of the bay coastal fog as we do. And so we had a nice little hike, but it, you know, it did get tense as the time was clicking down because we had gone too far to go back the way we came. Well, it was like a gamble I took. I said, well, if this is a loop, and it's not known, it wasn't like a known, it didn't seem like it was an intense hiking. I was like, we should be able to complete the loop. So it was my fault, my responsibility too. But we completed the loop literally with like 1 or 2 minutes to spare before the tour began. But then people showed up to the tour late anyway. And then we went on a nice tour. We got to see some, like these East Bay Park tours are really well done. They had like photos, they had a piece of coal. There's also larger photos and murals on the walls that we stopped and looked at. There was historical exhibits. So we kind of got an idea of what it was like in, for this tour to take coal out of the area and the process of doing that and the uses. And then a brief touch on the history, specifically in the history of these towns that would spring up and then move on to the next coal town. So it was nice and really well done tour, really nice thing. I highly recommend it. Again, if you live in the Bay Area, or the East Bay, you may have gone on, did I talk? No, I guess I went on a tangent before I finished this tangent. So this is something I'd always wanted to do. And then my daughter, she was supposed to, that's a big school field trip. That's what my point I was trying to make, that you go on. And her school field trip did not, like the day of the field trip, she was not feeling well. So she didn't go on the field trip. I think it was in fourth or fifth grade. So she never made it on this tour. And I think there was one other time I had scheduled the tour or paid for it. It's $3 to $5. And then we couldn't make it. So this has like been something that has been on my bucket list. I think that like, and it sounded way more work than it was to drive. I don't know, just to reserve something to drive out there. I don't know if you could relate, but to me, that's like, that's too much for me to handle. So, you know, that's just, you know, that's me. That's who I am. So then what it was, so what was my point? I don't know. I have no idea what my point was. I don't know. So it's finally something we got to do. So it's cool and well worth it. But one day I'd like to go on the Hazel Mine tour, but probably not for a while just because I just was there. And maybe do some more hiking because there's a lot to see. And my daughter didn't have the best shoes and she's not big into hiking. She enjoyed the hike we went on. Also, you know, I prefer hikes with, you know, mountain streams that we can jump in, just like, you know, who doesn't? Okay, so we did that, right? We've recovered. We got that covered, right? So we did that. Then, like, the next stop was lunch for us. Now, again, to some of you, this is going to seem strange, but I'll explain it. But we don't live in an area like I think this is like everybody. When I first moved to California, I remember the first time I ate at Jack in the Box, it was a big privilege because we just didn't have Jack in the Boxes on the East Coast. And I don't know if there's any other ones that jump out to me. I mean, In-N-Out, but In-N-Out wasn't as big back then. So I think we actually had to drive to Downey from where I lived in L.A. to get to an In-N-Out. But so for some of you, you have Sonic, which has ads on TV all the time. Sonic Burger is what it's called. But there's no urban Sonics where we live. And so to go to Sonic is an adventure for us and a rarity. And it was something we did twice during the pandemic, or maybe only once. I think we did it twice where it was like during 2020 and 2021, like just going to get takeout, or whatever was a big deal. Like it was, that was a adventure because you were in it. Would it, now it's a drive. It's kind of like old fashioned, no roller skates anymore. But particularly during 2020 and 2021, it was perfect because they bring it to your car and then you eat in your car anyway, and you order from your car and your car is parked in like an overhang. And so it was a treat because they're famous for their limeade. I did not get the limeade. My daughter got diet limeade and she said it was really good. I think I tasted it. I had Coke Zero and I had a hamburger. It was really good. We got their mozzarella sticks were very good. My daughter got a chili cheese dog. She said it was good. They have tater tots and fries, curly fries. I think curly fries. And then we got very similar to other places. I think they call them blasts there, like a blizzard, flurry, blast. I had Butterfinger, and my daughter had Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. And that was all very good, and it was enjoyable. And, yeah, it was nice. So we sat in the car, and we sat in the car and enjoyed our meal. It was really nice. So let's see, we got, let's see what else is going on. So we did that. Now we didn't finish our Butterfinger, our blasts, because, no, so yeah, I guess that's all the explanation. It was just a treat for us because we never eat there. And it was a Saturday and that's the day I kind of let loose on how I'm, you know, I like whatever. It was a nice treat. But then we kind of enjoyed our blasts as we drove, and we had one more stop, and it was really amazing. It was in Walnut Creek. I had accidentally found this place when I was on a walk, and I was so happy to discover it was still in business, because Walnut Creek, downtown Walnut Creek, is where the co-working space that I use during the week is when my daughter's at school. And when I especially when I first went there, I would go out for a lot of walks. I would take a break and I would go for a walk because I was not familiar with Walnut Creek. I'm still not totally familiar with it. And, you know, I didn't know if we would move to that area, that general area or not. And I knew I'd be spending a lot of time there. So I was going for a lot of walks. And at one point I went for a walk and it was in an unfamiliar area, not far from where my co-working space was, but there was like a path going through like apartments or condos, but it seemed like a public path. And so I went through that path, like, you know, when condos are built around a common green type thing without parking. So it was very nice going through the heart of these condos or apartments. And then I went through another, I think another set, another little path. And actually, even though it was a weekday, there was a couple of people enjoying the park or the common green. And then I kind of dumped me out on a street, which was weird, but I said, okay. And I said, should I go left or right? And I said, oh, I guess I'll go left. And I turned left on the street in a parking lot. And this was kind of like a kind of suburb type street. I think there was, yeah, like a piano lesson place, nail shop, insurance office, a couple takeout restaurants, independent ones. But in the back parking lot was a seemingly somewhat homemade putt-putt course, like in the parking lot. So no theming on the course. And like a homemade one. And I mean, I don't mean homemade in an insulting way in this case, because I said, huh, that's cool. We'll have to, I hope that, like, and I think it, maybe it was even open. I'm not even sure, but I just kind of glanced at it. And I think I Googled it. And then more recently, I said, you know what? I want to go back there. Let me Google and see if it's still around. And we did. And it's called Putter's Putt-Putt. I hope it's still open when you're even listening to this, if you're in the Bay. And we went there. Not only did they have 18 holes, I think they had 22 holes. And they were like this person, I don't know if the person who we paid was the person who built the course. And that it seems like they're kind of like a fun scientist of mini golf. So it's like they're like, it was such a wonderful thing to see. Like there was no, I mean, it would be difficult at this point to take it apart and move it, but like it seemed like they're still going to be adding on even more holes. A lot of the holes were very inventive. The price was amazing. Like I said, there wasn't, they said, there's 22 holes or 21 holes, just so you know. And like, it was just really, really fun. Now, if you go to like in a more expensive, you know, built-in mini golf place, you know, there's more theming and stuff, but this was about the golf and for me and my daughter about the competition because we're about evenly matched. And so we really enjoyed that. And, you know, hopefully, I think on the next update here, I'll update you with another mini golf trip because I guess that's kind of like part of the adventures we're going on. So Scoots will be back in a little bit here with another update. All right, everybody, Scoots here back with another Bay afternoon. Now, for this one, we're going right to San Francisco. And you could walk it. I probably suggested walking it, taking public transit, but you could drive. But how you get there is not important as getting there. And you could plan an afternoon. You could probably plan a morning. You could plan a whole day and a whole evening. And this is the area, I don't know what it's actually called. It's like I would call it South of Market, but I know I'm wrong. Oh, Mission Bay. Is that what it's called? Yeah, let's see here. Old Wikipedia. Just looked it up. Mission Bay, San Francisco. It's a 303-acre neighborhood, according to Wikipedia. It's bordered by China Basin and the Dog Patch, which I think we did. You will be going into China Basin as well, and San Francisco Bay to the east. Originally an industrial district, it redeveloped with UCSF Mission Bay campus and the Chase Center. Its location, as we said, is, let's see, the history. It was it used to be a salt marsh and lagoon. Then it was where refuse from building projects was placed, then debris. Then the marsh quickly stabilized with the weight of the infill, then became an industrial district. It was used for shipbuilding and repair and other things. Believe it or not, you could pass by the where Jack London was born. I don't know if that's in here because that might be in China Basin. Attractions, it has UCSF. Let's see, the headquarters of... that was, you know, interesting, of Old Navy and the Gap, the northern terminus of the 3rd Street Light Rail Project, and the northern terminus at Caltrain. So you could take the train there from a lot of places. There's a public library, so I'm going to have to make multiple trips here. What else we got here? The San Francisco Bay Trail, the Blue Greenway Waterfront Trail. So these are things I didn't check out, but I highly suggest them. Sinking Sidewalk. So I'll be going back here. It's also served by the N. Judah and the T3rd Street lines of the Metro. And it's adjacent to South Beach, which maybe is where Oracle Park is. So I may not have been. I may have been in South Beach. I don't know. But Mission Bay is, well, I could see some UCSF stuff, but whatever. So anyway, what was my point? My point is that you should go check it out because it's like a nice area. All those areas. So basically, let me see, if you're not from San Francisco, like you could, between the neighborhoods that are south of Market, I believe is what the area is called. So you got China Basin, Mission Bay, South Beach, I guess. And you could go to, you could even go, if you really like a walker like I am, you could go walk from the ferry building under the bridge along the Embarcadero and the waterfront, maybe stop at there's two famous burger places on the water. There's also the Delancey Street Cafe. And then you could keep walking. You could check out the Giants Stadium. You could go to a game there. You could watch it from the outside. When we happened to go, it was a big sporting night. Now, we went early. because of this. So it was very, it was bustling. What a great, you know, and I love, you know what I love is a bustling area when I'm in a good mood, and I happen to be in a good mood. So I was prepared for some bustling. So we saw the Giants were playing the Dodgers that night. And so we saw a lot of Giant and Dodger fans, being friendly and loving towards one another. Mostly people were getting ready to go to dinner or to a pub or whatever, because it was like round dinner. It wasn't, I think it was about 3 hours before the game. And then also you saw a lot of people in Dubs jerseys, so the San Francisco Warriors or the Golden State Warriors, I guess. And they were going to Chase Center. Now, there wasn't a game at Chase Center, but you could watch one of the NBA final games from within Chase Center or outside of it. Now, this was not on our plan. Also, just because I love walking, my guest, who is my daughter, she does not love walking anymore because, you know, it's like, what a way to have your child rebel against you. Not liking walking anymore. But, I probably walked her too much. So I guess if you're going to rebel, I say, okay, well, at least you'll do stuff. You just won't walk as much. So I couldn't really get her to do a lot of these walking trails. But what she would do is walk 18 holes of miniature golf with me. But what I'm saying is there's a lot to look at. If you're into adult beer and stuff, there's a lot of places to go have a drink. There's also a lot of places to eat, which is part of what we're doing. And so we're going to the Stagecoach Greens, which is a mini golf place within this area, San Francisco, the mini golf place is called Stagecoach Greens. But there's also, it's adjacent to this food truck park called Spark Social. And so it's really cool because and especially if you're like, they had a bunch of places to get, not adult drinks, soda drinks, there's soda stuff, you know. And so there's like two blocks of food trucks, plenty of seating, and there was plenty of shade. And so we got there, we had made a reservation. Here's one thing, if you're going to play at Stagecoach Greens, make a reservation. I think you have to in order to, like, you make a tee time and you pay for your ticket ahead of time. And we had that. We were actually early, surprise, surprise, when you're with Scoots. And so they said, you're early and we got a large party in front of you. So can you come back at your tee time? And it happened that my daughter was a little bit hungry, so we got some fries and a lemonade from a stand. And I'll say the fries were really good. The lemonade was not good. It was a little bit of a disappointment. It was over $3. And I'd be honest, it wasn't even worth the dollar. So that was a little bit of a frustration, but, you know, not the end of the world because we needed our liquid. But the fries were excellent. Holy mackerel, were these good fries. So that kind of made up for it. They were from the same truck. And then we proceeded to play some golf at Stagecoach Greens, which is it's a well-themed course. Wouldn't say it was super challenging. And, you know, I'm just getting it, you know, I'm not really good at mini golf, but it was fun. And I'll just run through, there's 18 holes. It was very busy. So you had to have, we packed our patience and we used it. Even with reservations, it was after work on a Friday night, I think. And so there's a lot of going on. So I would recommend going in off hours, like on a weekday during the day or something. But let's see. So you had the Rocking Stone, a Barbary Coast Saloon. That's a hole one and two. Immigrant Trail, which was a mountain. Stagecoach Wheel. Sierra Mining Tunnels. A Gold Rush place where people rest, then a gold cart, then the railroad joining the nation, Mission Bay, Shipyard. Alpha in the Air was funny. It was like Rock'em Sock'em Robots, but with skyscrapers. Each hole also had a little history panel, which was cool, and a sound effect. So those two things were nice also to experience, in my opinion. Sutro Fog, that was a really nice hole. Splash Hit, that's for the Giants Stadium. A Walk in the Woods was Golden Gate Park. I Felt That was, Fuller House, or a Victorian. Ocean Beach Bonfire. Spirit of Invention, Dragon's Gate, and Eureka. And so there were nice holes. It was a nice golf course. It was outside. I mean, which again is a rarity in San Francisco. I think this is the only outdoor mini golf course. Seems to be independently operated. I think they have one other course in Denver. I can't remember. I thought that came up. San Francisco prices, so prepare yourself. You got to pay ahead of time anyway. And very busy, but we had fun. Let's see. I did have three hole-in-ones, which for me is pretty rare. So, I mean, I think on the second hole, it was a nice shot. That was straight down the middle. It wasn't a trick shot. You just had to go under something so you couldn't see the hole, but you could tell where it was. On hole four, that was a result of a mulligan, I'll be honest. And then I got a 14. Oh, so 14 was a hole in what you either. Yeah, so 14 and four. Those, so I only had actually one hole in one, because the other two were, we each get a mulligan on the front nine and the back nine. And while I don't note it, I did remember that that is where I got my, what was my worst hole? Great question. Hole six, I maxed out at hole six. That was just a long hole. That was a gold rush place where people rest to the big farm. And I think it was just a matter of, I think I also missed two close putts. So it's probably I was going for a three and then missed the three. Then I missed the four. And I do remember that was like, I told my daughter, I'm like, okay, this kind of puts us close to even again, which it did I think we tied the front half. I was only up by one stroke, and then we tied on the back half. Actually, I had a victory. That's rare. Usually, I come in third because I get frustrated, you know. So we finished up mini golf. Then we, you know, used the facilities, and then we headed to this the larger part of Spark Social. Is that what it was called? The couple of retired mini golf fanatics. This is from sfeater.com. Are the visionaries behind Stagecoach Green? Greens, and it follows the theme of boom and bust. They had different fabricators work on them, and so then the food trucks. So there was food trucks. There's five food trucks from Park Labs, which is the one that runs the food trucks, and Spark Social. That were at Stagecoach Greens. And, you know, they just had a bad day on the lemonade. Let me just say that. But then you could go one more block down to the whole Spark Social, which I was talking about, and eat, you know, from a multitude of places, or drink from a multitude of places and sit down. And it was, again, bustling, but not overpacked. It was busy, but not too busy. And there was a couple of the big name. We decided, my daughter wanted quesabirra, which I think I talked about recently with there's a difference between birra, birra is kind of stewed meat, and quesabirra, which is birra, stewed meat, usually in this case of beef, but it's cooked in this consomme. So we got to consomme. And it's cooked in consomme. I don't know. It's tough to describe. You'll have to look it up. So we hadn't had quesabirra in a while. But it really worked out because so we got two quesabirria tacos or two quesabirria. I think that's just what you call it, just quesabirria, which is basically you take the birra with cheese and then on the griddle, they cook the tortilla and then they use the, you know, melt the cheese, heat up the beef. And they do that in the in some consommé, which has this some of the chilies and stuff. So it kind of crisps it up and melts the cheese, a lot of cheese, if you're a big fan of cheesy stuff. So we had two of those, one each, with a consommé, which I think comes for came included. I don't know. I don't remember paying extra for it. Some places charge extra for a side of consommé. But so we got that, and then I got a pizza from a pizza place. And I got to tell you, like, the people at the pizza place, they went above and beyond with their service. The quesabirria place was great, too. But they were just really friendly and really on top of it, and they were out of napkins. They said, hey, you're out of napkins. They took care of that really quick. And the pizza was really good. It was like a, you know, was a smaller personal size. But here's where it really worked out. So then we ate the quesabirria, kept the consommé. Then I went and got the pizza. I also picked up a root beer for myself and a LaCroix. And I don't know what my daughter had to drink. But, we took the pizza and dipped it in the consommé. And I'll tell you what, if you have a side of consommé with any, this was a meat pizza. So it had sausage, pepperoni, and salami. First, we tried the crust, but then even dipping the pizza in itself in the consommé was unbelievable. And it was just great to be around, you know, like outdoors. It was bustling. People were enjoying themselves. A lot of people like enjoying their post-work happy hour kind of situation. And then tons of jerseys because people were going there before the Dubs game and before the Giants game. And really enjoyable, really pleasurable evening. So that's another one you could do as a lunch. You could do it as a dinner. I don't know about a breakfast. I don't, probably not, but maybe for brunch. And you could do a lot of walking, or you could go to one of the, see a sporting event, or you could just play some mini golf. So that's another day in the bay from Scoots to you. Good night, everybody. All right, I want to thank everybody that became a patron recently. Catherine, Mama B, and Rachel, thanks, and good night. Jonathan, Bioscience Girl, and Kimberly, thank you, thanks, and good night. Alex, Natasha, and Caleb, thank you, thanks, and good night. Rebecca, Jason, and Will, thank you, thanks, and good night. John J., John R., and Andrew, thanks, and good night. Tron, Nancy, and Lindsay, thank you, thanks, and good night. Trond, Shane, and Jennifer, thank you, thanks, and good night. Melissa, Megan, and Purple Danielle, thank you, thanks, and good night. Shy, Justine, and Dakota, thank you, thanks, and good night. Nicole, Halazaka, and Jennifer, thank you, thanks, and good night. Lisa, Robin, and Sheen, thank you, thanks, and good night. Amber, Jared, and Jackie, thank you, thanks, and good night. And Stacy and Diana, thank you, thanks, and good night. Thanks, everybody, for supporting the show and being here. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And this is the end of the show. For some reason, I thought it was the start of the show. Couldn't do it without the patrons who support the show directly or the people that support the sponsors. That's how we're able to be here for you for free. And we grow as a podcast by people spreading the word about the show. That's how I'm able to be here and keep the podcast growing, just letting people know about the podcast. And what else we need you to know? Oh, we've gotten up from 200 to almost 500 episodes in the free feed because of these Tuck You In sponsors. So thanks so much. Thanks and good night. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my weeks in review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcast, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is I think this is the Boar Friends level. I have four podcasts, the ad free full episodes, the story only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story only versions of the show, the all intro all night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out. And that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. That's popping the all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, an all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. That was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Wildy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series, a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. So if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, or and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in the, at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback, feedback@sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support, support@supercast.com. And good night.